Portions of this program may be pre-recorded.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking today with a pastor from Worcester, Massachusetts. His name is Pastor Chris Casey. He pastors the Adams Square Baptist Church in his city. We've been interviewing him because he's recently been, I use the term pastor, threatened by the local police department and fined simply because of having worship services in the church. And Pastor, just before the break, we were talking about your preparation of your people, getting them ready for proper hygiene and safety in view of the virus, and continue with that thought for our listeners.
Yeah, so we did everything that everybody else was doing to make sure that there would be no problem in regards to a COVID-19 outbreak, which, you know, the whole conspiracy thing is a completely different story. But I wanted to live above reproach. You know, I was already defying the executive order from the governor. And so if above reproach, I need to make sure the church is completely clean. So the Friday before we had the first church service, I had service master come in and clean the whole church. And then when I made the decision to have church again last night on Wednesday, I had them come in on Tuesday and clean the whole church. And so now we're going to have church again on Sunday, and I'm going to have service master come in and clean the whole church again. And so I'm spending thousands of dollars, this, you know, little inner city Baptist church, spending thousands of dollars to prove a point to the state, to my city, to the executive council, to everybody that we have the cleanest church, maybe even in America at this moment, because it's been professionally cleaned by three times in 7 days. And so, you know, there's nothing that they can come at me and say, you know, you didn't do the right thing. I mean, everything that I'm doing is above board, except the 10-person limit that they put on us. And so, you know, they can't do that. That's infringing on our rights. And that's been my whole platform. And I'm not going to stop, and I'm not going to back down. And the funny thing is that I got saved in prison. So you can't threaten me with something I've already been through. It doesn't. I'm not afraid of it. You know, if I have to go back, I have to go back. You know, if I go back to prison for doing the right thing, man, you know how happy I'm going to be? It's not that I want to go back. It's not that I'm looking for that. But you can't threaten somebody with something they're not afraid of. And I think, you know, maybe 20 years ago when I got saved in prison, you know, maybe God knew all this was going to happen. And that's why at this time, you know, verse 29 of 1 Samuel 17, is there not a cause? You know, David stood up and said, I'm not going to let Goliath, you know, insult our armies and insult the living God for any more time. He did it for 40 days. Finally said, is there not a cause? And then he slew the giant. And then, you know, the great thing about him slaying the giant, we would think that's probably one of the greatest victories that's ever been had in the entire world. It's just such an amazing story. But at the end, the very last verse of 1 Samuel chapter number 17, David goes to Saul and he says, I am the son of thy servant. He has the greatest war victory that's ever been published, maybe in the Bible. And what does he do? He goes to Saul and he says, I'm your servant. You know, it's humbling that no matter what we go through, no matter what victories God gives us, he's just looking for us to be humble and to be his servant. And
yes,
so I have been in front of God before and made a lot of mistakes. I have been a stubborn little child and had God chastised me because I wasn't walking with his pace. But when you're right in the center of God's will and you're walking with him, it's the most comfortable and peaceful and amazing feeling in the entire world. Amen. And I'm thankful that that's where I feel like I am, my wife is, our kids are, our church are. And so everything right now is just truly an amazing experience. You know,
Pastor, if you would hang on just for a moment, I believe we have a caller calling in. Caller, go ahead with your question or comment, please.
Well, the comment is really aimed at encouraging this wonderful brother in the Lord. God bless you, Pastor Chris. I knew another young pastor in that area. I believe it's Anchor Baptist Church, somewhere near you, who had the same first name as you do and has the same strong spirit as his dad did. So, first of all, thank you. God bless you for what you're doing. Now, how odd is it, however, that you serve there in the very birthplace. I mean, you are in the very birthplace, ground zero of spiritual America. And even as we speak, America is now following the path of New England and of the Worcester, Mass area in going into declension. All of our miseries really started when the church began to move away from the basics of the Christian faith in New England. And so many of our leaders have been supposed Christians, really just part of the New World Order, who came from New England, part of a very liberal Protestant background. And I don't want to be too specific, but what I just said is a statistically true statement. We have become in America what the very foundation of America's faith system was there in Massachusetts and is now. It is a barren wasteland. You have gentlemen like you doing a wonderful work, and where the Christians exist, they're strong and they know the Lord. But the good thing, I guess, that comes out of the bad circumstance there is that men like you, pastors with a spine, are stepping up and serving as a model. So that's what I wanted to call this morning. You, Pastor Chris Carey, are an example for all these pastors around the country who aren't doing what you are doing and what my own pastor that you're talking to this morning is doing. We're standing up and saying, thus saith the Lord. And I don't care what you do, government. You are violating the laws of God, and I cannot be complicit. I will, through my actions, demonstrate my Deuteronomy 6 allegiance to my God, who I love above all else. So, thank you, sir. God bless your ministry. And some of the great leaders of this country spiritually have come from prison. A fellow who's from your area named Charles Colson in a prison down in at Maxwell Air Force Base in Alabama, heard from an old country preacher who came to visit him the saving gospel. So all the religion that he had in his life that was meaningless to him came to fruition when he heard the simple gospel of Jesus Christ and responded as you did. May God increase your tribe, brother. Thank you. Amen.
Praise God. Thank you.
Thank you so much for that call. It's a blessing. Pastor Casey, when it comes to your church and other churches across America, perhaps you're aware of the fact that there's probably some 60, now approaching 70-plus churches and pastors that have had to file suit with constitutional attorneys to get relief from either their mayors, city council, administrators in the city, or from the governors. But when we look at what's taking place, do you feel that churches are being discriminated against? You talked about earlier going into some of the big box stores and seeing what was happening. Did you find any of the stores, I call them big box stores, did you find any of the stores where they were social distancing? Did you find any of the stores where they were limiting them to just 10 customers? Did you find any of the stores where they were placing restrictions on them with having to have exceptional cleaning process taking place, as churches have been required to have? So therefore, the question is, do you feel that across the nation today, our churches are being in some way demoralized, being considered as non-essential and discriminated against?
Yes, absolutely. And you know, that's part of my outrage. That's part of my righteous anger that the bride of Christ is being abused and nobody's standing up and doing anything about it. And I said, not on my watch. You know, this is long enough. You know, it's not going to happen anymore. We're going to stand up. We're going to fight. And, you know, we're going to start a spiritual revival. That's what our country needs. You know, we don't need America to be great again with prosperity, with homes or 401ks or with all of these other worldly things. They all pass away. What we need again is men and women and children to stand up and say, you know, is there not a cause? That's for me and my house. We're going to Lord. And they're going to choose today, every day, that they're going to stand up and serve Jesus Christ. And it doesn't matter who loves them or who hates them. They're just going to stand strong and do what the Bible tells them to do. But, you know, we've produced such a soft generation. You know, fathers aren't around in the homes anymore training the kids to be good, godly kids. And moms have, you know, all this responsibility on their laps because dad's not around. Dad's too busy working or not even a part of the picture, or, you know, when he gets home, he's too tired to actually spend time with the kids. And so we're missing the dinner table conversations that made families great. We're missing the Bible that dads would take, would teach their children the things of God. And so they would grow up and have a thirst for the things of God. So, you know, really the devil has done a great job in the last, you know, 60, 80 years in twisting things around. We need to have a spiritual revival, and it's going to start. It needs to happen now. You know, there needs to be another great awakening. And I'm afraid if we don't see another great awakening, we're going to lose the America that my father and grandfather fought for in the wars to make this place so good. And so we need to see people, men and women of God, you know, not just pastors, not just missionaries, not just the, you know, the deacons of the church. We need to see average church folks stand up and say, I'm no longer going to be average. I'm no longer going to tolerate sin in my home. I'm no longer going to allow these things to happen. There needs to be a spiritual revival in the hearts and the minds of the believers in this country so that it spreads like wildfire all across this land.
Amen. Pastor, I hear you, and I am in full accord with what you're saying. We have on the network of stations that we broadcast on and in the territory, the general geographical area that we cover, don't know how many people are listening at any given time. There's probably somewhere in the neighborhood of a million, million and a half million, million, maybe 2 million people total in the total geographical area. Take the moment to just, as I call it, give a brief but yet concise challenge to our listeners today, many of whom are hiding under the bed or in the closet, and a large, large, large number of pastors that are petrified that somehow, some way, they might offend someone or that they might go against the government if they preach and get back in the pulpits. Take these moments to speak to our listeners, to challenge them, as I called it, to come out from under the bed and out of the closet and obey God.
Yeah, you know, Pastor, I appreciate you giving me this opportunity. You know, I understand where a lot of these pastors are coming from. There's this fear. And that's why I went to First Samuel, where the men were about to face the valley. They were about to go into the valley and fight Goliath, but everybody was afraid because Goliath was so big. What they forgot was God had already delivered them from many other victories and many other battles that they had already won. And so for the pastors across this land, God has already given you victories in your past. Go back and count your blessings and realize God has always been there. He hasn't left. He's still the same yesterday, today, and forever. And get your boots on, get out there and get in the good fight and say, I'm going to serve God. I've only got one life to live. And when I get to heaven, I want God to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I don't want God just to say, welcome home. I want him to say, well done. And right now we have preachers across the land who aren't standing up. So stand up, so God can get the glory with your life. You know what? People aren't going to like you, but people didn't like Jesus. And so for you to say, well, I'm not going to win a popularity contest, who cares? We've had hundreds of phone calls from, before this went national, we've had hundreds of phone calls from all across the country from people who aren't even Baptist, who they've called up and they've said, thank you so much for taking a stand. I wish my pastor, I wish my rabbi, I wish my priest, I wish whoever would stand up like a man and preach and proclaim the message. Why are you the only one doing it? So you know what? There's a group of people in America who want a pastor who's not going to be a yellow belly, who's not going to, you know, tiptoe around the gospel, who's going to stand up and preach that hellfire and brimstone gospel, because it's going to offend. It's going to offend because the gospel offends people because they like their sin and they want to stay in that sin. Stop worrying about who you're going to offend and start in a place where if you don't do it, you're going to offend God. And you're not going to please God with your actions by staying in the closet, by staying under the bed. It's not time to hide. It's time to grab your sword, which is the Bible, and it's time to stand up and do what God wants you to do. You know, the Bible tells us in Psalm 144, verse number 1 and 2, that David says, the Lord teacheth my fingers and my hands to war. Well, how are we going to war? We're going to war by flipping the pages and figuring out what the Word of God says and grabbing hold of that sword and not letting it go and start wielding it. Listen, Jesus made it so simple. Anybody can be a Christian. All you have to do is ask Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior, and he'll forgive you of your sins. Anybody can do it. It's really, really, really simple. The hard part is being a good Christian. The hard part is saying, today I'm going to give God my life. I'm going to give God my all. You know, I use the illustration, anybody can get married. But you know what? It takes 100% from the wife and 100% from the husband for it to be a good marriage. You can't just do 25 or 50-50 or 75-75. 100%, 100% from both parties for it to be a good marriage. Well, we've seen too many people across this land who have just put half-hearted into their marriage. We've more than that seen people across this land just put their half-hearted into their Christianity. It's time for men and women, boys and girls, to stand up and say, today is the day I'm going to serve the Lord, and I'm not going to back down. I'm not going to worship the gods that my fathers worshipped. I am going to serve God. Today is my day. Today is my day to shine for Jesus Christ. Because you know what, Pastor? People are watching. People are watching the pastor. People are watching these people who are supposedly Christians cowering down to the government. I've got people on the Worcester Police Department, not the chief of police, but I've got people who are calling me, private messaging me, sending me text messages, and telling me, thank you for standing up. We support you. And then they'll delete the phone number. They'll delete their name. They'll delete the comment. They're supporting me, but they know their job is on the line. So you know what that tells me? That there's people in this city, there's people in this state who are looking for a leader to stand up and proclaim the truth of Jesus Christ, that he loves you, he cares for you, that he wants to save your soul. But after he saves your soul, he's got plans for you, and he wants you to do great things. So now is the time to stand up. Now is the time. The fields are white into harvest. Go labor and bring people in and see people get saved. This is the greatest time in your life to see people get saved. Everybody's afraid, and you've got the remedy. Everybody's afraid of the virus. But you know what it is? Really, they're afraid of dying. And if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have the remedy. The remedy is Jesus Christ. The cure is Jesus Christ. And so help quench people's fears by giving them the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen. Pastor Casey, I am so thankful for you, Stan. One of the things that as I listen to you, I am encouraged and challenged afresh and anew to realize that we do have others that are standing. I find it so antithetical to biblical truth when so many pastors will say, you know, I believe in the gospel, I believe in the Constitution, I believe we need to stand, believe we need to keep the church doors open, but yet time the government gives to eat it, to close the doors, they're willing and ready to simply close the doors. Pastor Casey, I know that you're aware of this, but when it comes to laws, we have across the nation with every state, we have the House and the Senate, they will debate bills, vote on the bills, and if the bill passes, it will be signed into law by either the governor or by the president, depending on whether it's federal or state. That becomes law. What we're finding today, ladies and gentlemen, this is for our whole audience to understand, is fiat edicts, governmental, how would you say, executive orders. And there's not one thing in our Constitution that says that those executive orders take precedence over our Constitution, our Bill of Rights, and the Word of God. And yet we find those that are willing to simply submit to what these lawless orders say rather than taking a stand on the truth of the Word of God. Pastor Casey, I understand that you've had all kinds of threats and all kinds of evil, wicked, malicious statements said to you by those that have called or emailed or text, whatever it may be. Speak to that issue and the hazard that we face as we as Christians take a stand to obey God. The Apostle Paul in his final days says, I've fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. I've finished the course. The Christian battle, Christian life is a battle. Speak to us about that and what you face simply because you're standing for Jesus.
Yeah, you know, this since I got saved, this is the hardest battle I've ever been in my entire life. And like I said when I first started the interview, I felt like 10, 15 days ago, I was just a shepherd boy tending my sheep. And God said, well, now it's time to go get in the battle. Okay, Lord, you know, whatever you want me to do, I'm willing to go. You know, but when people start threatening you, they start threatening your wife and your kids and you know, just as many people wishing harm and ill will, you know, hopefully we get the virus and we die and we go in the hospital. You know, people are afraid. And people are afraid because they don't know Jesus Christ. And so, you know, in the flesh, you want to respond and retaliate with venom. because, you know, they're coming at you and coming at your family. But when you pause and you pray and you say, Lord, why are they saying these things? You realize they don't know Jesus Christ, because if they did, they wouldn't be saying these things. And so it allows you to step up and reach people who you wouldn't necessarily be able to reach. And so when people call and say these things, you know, we actually thank them and say, you know, thank you for your opinion. It really means a lot to us. And that really diffuses the situation. And they're kind of taken back. Said, are you really thankful that people say that? Yes. Because the same freedom that they have to call me and say that is the same freedom and the same amendment that I'm keeping my church open for. And if they lose their amendment, I lose my amendment. And if I lose mine, they lose theirs. And so when you can find common ground with people and you can be the voice of reason, people will understand. People will listen. Now, I wish I could tell you that every single person, you know, continues on with a kind conversation after you treat them with kindness, because that's not the case. But there are and there have been several individuals who are completely taken aback by the response that my wife and I have had when we answer the phone or talk to people. And I said, you know, I didn't expect this. Well, as Christians, we need to do the unthinkable, and that is don't respond in the flesh, but respond in the love and truth and grace of Jesus Christ. Remember, we're ambassadors here. We're representatives of Jesus Christ. And if we respond with the venom that people give us, we're not going to see anything accomplished. But when we treat people with love and joy, and we're long-suffering and we're patient, we got to realize Jesus went through all the things that my wife and I and kids are going through right now, and he knew no sin, and he did it perfectly. I wish that I could say we've done it perfectly, because I know there's probably things that we could have changed, but we are trying so close to walk so close with God that every step we take is calculated with him and trusting him as we take each step. You know, I don't know what's going to happen Sunday. I don't know if I'm going to get arrested, but I know this. Today's only Thursday, and I don't need to worry about Sunday because it's not here yet. I just need to go through today and trust the Lord. And when I don't want to get in front of him, but I don't want to be behind him. I just want to stay right here in his presence. And I know this. The battle's already won. I'm not fighting the governor. I'm not fighting the executive council. I'm not fighting the city manager and the mayor. I'm fighting with the devil himself, and the devil's on the losing side. And so when you stay right in the presence of Jesus, there's so much peace, there's so much joy, but there's so much victory. The battle is tough. You know, my wife and I haven't had, you know, but two or three meals in the last 11-12 days. You know, it's been kind of a forced fast, but also kind of just like, I can't eat. You know, I'm in a battle for my life, and I can't eat. I don't know what tomorrow is going to behold, but I just got to stay strong and stay on my knees and trust God. And God has done so many incredible, great things. You know, it's amazing to see the people who have called us and supported us, the people who have, you know, gone on our website. They've said, you know what, Pastor, I'm going to help with your fine. They've called up and said, you know, Pastor, I know you're going to have legal fees. We're going to help out with that. You know, people have been so gracious and loving. You know, one homeless guy walked up to me and he said, Pastor, I just got my food stamps and I bought you and your wife and your kids some food. And, you know, he took what he had. He didn't have money, but he had something that was of value to him. And instead of having a meal for himself, he bought it for my wife and I. And we just looked at each other and said, no, God, you are so good. We're in the midst of the cave, and you're having the ravens bring us food to sustain us. You know, Amen. That's what God has done. God has made it very clear that this is his battle, and he's just using me as the humble servant. And as long as I stay the humble servant, he's going to continue to slay giants that are in front of me. And no weapon formed against us is going to prosper, you know, going to prosper. And so that's the exciting thing about being in this battle, that it belongs to God. You're on the winning side. You know you're going to win. You just don't know when it's going to happen. And so when you stay right in the presence of God, there's so much peace.
Amen.
There's chaos around you, but there's so much peace because you know God is leading you to do these things.
And it goes back to the statement by Peter and others, we ought to obey God rather than man. And that's the position that I take. One of the things that we see in relationship to the challenge that you're faced with, and let me ask it in this fashion. Pastor Casey, if we continue to see the journey that we're presently on, the trajectory that we're presently on as a nation, what do you see for the less God intervenes, I understand that, but what do you see for the future of America if we continue to allow this and that men of God do not take a stand and take back the rights that we have, that God has given us, in our natural rights, in our civil rights, in our constitutional rights? Where do you see this taking us as a nation?
Yeah, let me give you a great illustration. And my mom did a great job raising me to be, you know, a morally young man. It wasn't until I found Jesus that I became a spiritually good guy. But she always brought me to Provincetown, Massachusetts every Memorial Day for a long weekend. Provincetown, Massachusetts is on the very coast of Cape Cod. And if you know your history, you know that the settlers first landed in Provincetown, and then they went to Plymouth, Massachusetts. And that's where we have Plymouth Rock. But when the settlers started to come over from Europe or from across the pond, they landed in Provincetown, and they did what every settler would do, 400 years ago, 375 years ago, 350 years ago. They began to cut down the trees so they could build homes. Now, if you look at Provincetown, you look at the geography of Provincetown, it's right on the tip. It's beautiful, beautiful land. But when the settlers started cutting down the trees, what they realized is that there was going to be unintended consequences. And that was this. When they cut down the trees, the root structure would die. There would no longer be a tree there. So when the wind blew off the Atlantic Ocean, it completely changed the landscape of Provincetown. Where there wasn't a sand dune, 2 or 3 years later, there was a 60, 80-foot sand dune because the wind blew sand to a place where the trees weren't protecting it. I say it like this. If we don't stand up and we don't start protecting the landscape of America, the spiritual trees in America will continue to be cut down and the erosion will take place and we won't see the spiritual environment that we saw, that our grandfathers saw, that our great-great-grandfathers saw, and we will see the decline and death of the America that we knew it because the trees were cut down, the gospel was cut down, the pastors and preachers and evangelists were cut down, and the spiritually charged Christians were cut down because they didn't stand up and say, no, not today. Devil, you're not going to lay your axe on God's tree. You're not going to cut this landscape down. We got to stand strong. And so if we don't protect the Constitution, if we don't protect the Bill of Rights, if we don't stand up and fight for these things, then we will be watching our grandkids not be able to stand for the cause of Jesus Christ. They'll be persecuted. We'll be hiding and not having church the way that we want to be. All we have to do is look at communist China and see what they have to do. You know, they build a church, the government comes in and tears it down. You know, they can't have a big church and they meet at different houses so that the government can't track where they are. Listen, if we don't stand strong and we don't stand tall and we don't get a fire in our belly and we don't get fervency and we don't get filled with the Holy Spirit, the landscape of America will change. And we will never see what God could truly do if we stood up.
Pastor, I could not have stated it any more succinctly and any more clearly than you have just stated it. And I pray that our listeners today will be challenged by that. Ladies and gentlemen, we've been talking with Pastor Chris Casey, the Adams Square Baptist Church in Worcester, Massachusetts. And we've heard from him today, ladies and gentlemen. Pastor, I want to say thank you, thank you, thank you for taking your time and joining us on this broadcast today. And it's my prayer that you will be sustained, that God will provide you with faith and strength and encouragement and hope and protection as you stand for the truth of the Word of God. It is my prayer today that your church will be blessed and that God would increase the numbers because of your faithfulness and you're willing to stand and face the battle. And yes, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and wickedness in high places. And that's exactly what we're facing today, is the battle with Satan himself. Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us today on Let's Face the Issues. Looking forward to meeting you next time as once again, we face the issues on the air.
Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in the same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.